time spent at the Centre of Time at the University of Sydney helped writer Brian Wolpert to get his head around the logistics of time travel for his new novel Entanglement. Brian's a professor in creative writing at Massey University, Auckland, with a novella, a short story collection, 4 books of poetry and 2 of literary criticism to his name. Entanglement, though, is a little different. For a start, it has 3 different time strands. There's a time traveller who's landed in the 1970s from the future in a desperate bid to save his twin brother's life, but his memory is impaired and he has few clues to help him. There's a novelist who's firmly in 2011 in Sydney, who finds love while researching at the centre of time. And in 2019, an obsessive writer is trying and failing to come to terms with his marriage ending. Robert Kelly reads from Entanglement.
Slowly, slowly, you remember, as though against your will, the smoke of steak on the grill, the moan of a cello, the manner in which snow casts itself across the face of a street lamp. These are past things, but also present ones. The future, a different part of your past, where you have come from, remains beyond your field of vision. Like the snow settling around you in the dark, the flakes falling beyond the narrow scope of the streetlight. It's cold. You have been sitting on a cement step in the light now for who knows how long. The creep of cold and damp through your jeans, the nearly numb ache. It comes back to you. Time to move along. Where to? No, first, where from? You know you have come a distance, a fair distance. You are wearing a winter jacket. You knew it would be cold, must have known it would be snowing when you arrived here. Arrived now. Or will know? It is easy to predict the weather in the past. You can picture the page of an old almanac. It lay on a table at a library. The musty scent, the stiff pages. You pull your hand from your pocket with a woolen cap, which fits snugly. Nothing else of assistance. Was memory loss expected? Maybe you have forgotten you expected it, or will expect it.
Brian, first of all, I wanted you to take me to the Centre for Time at the University of Sydney. It has a place in the book. It has a place in your acknowledgements. I never knew it existed.
Yeah, I discovered it somewhere in my research. And I realized that it would be a really great place to set part of the novel. So I actually just called them up and said, I'm writing this book. I'd really love to come see you guys. And they were really generous and welcoming. And they said, sure, come along. They basically just gave me a little residency for 2 weeks where I had a little desk space and a computer. And I got to attend their seminars, some of which I could not understand a thing. These are philosophy seminars. I got pretty deep. But I scribbled lots of language. And I got to go to their grad student meetings. And they answered questions and had coffee with me and forwarded me articles and things like that. So it was really terrific.
So time travel was something you were specifically interested in writing about?
Yeah, at that stage, I already knew that the book was going to involve time travel. I was a little bit nervous that they would laugh at me. But in fact, because these were philosophers and physicists and dealing with time, but in fact, they love to talk about it. They were very happy to talk about it. They talk about it all the time. So, yes, it was great in that sense. But yeah, by that point, I knew.
Did you get a sense that time travel is possible?
Yes, in theory. There are various theories that it is possible, especially going to the future is more possible than going to the past. But there's always, when you say possible, there's, you know, theoretically possible, technologically possible. It's not very likely anytime in the near future or possibly far future that it'll happen, but there are some theories that suggest it is possible.
The time traveler we meet him first having arrived somewhere and knowing that he is in this time for a specific reason, but having also quite a lot of amnesia associated with this, so having to gather together clues to understand. That's such a fascinating situation to be in. I get a sense that you enjoyed writing the time traveler story.
I did. I really enjoyed it. And partly because I didn't know what was going to happen. I was following the time traveler, and in fact, that was possibly the hardest to write. because there was no material to generate from. If I'm working in Sydney and I've got that particular setting and some of the philosophy and physics that comes about, there's material to generate from. But the time traveler, that was just sort of going in real time and what was going to happen next. So that was fun.
And it does that kind of play that time travel does. He said you're the coffee arrives, you lift the cup to your mouth, the taste is familiar, you're ripping off a third packet of sugar when you recall you gave up sugar. Now, technically, you haven't yet given up sugar. Technically, you don't give it up for some years at the urging of a doctor. So always he is in the past or the present and the future, kind of three strands at once.
Yeah, that was fun. It was fun to think about, and it was a little dizzying too. Like, so the future is actually your past. Do you treat the future, which is your past, since you've just come from there, as the past, or do you treat it as the future? Are the commitments you made in the future commitments that you've made because they're in your past, or have you not made them yet?
You've given him at the start a photograph that he recognizes and yet doesn't know the details of, as trying to analyze. So there are very few clues for him, but he is on a quest.
He is on a quest. He knows that he was there. He's there for a reason. And he knows that, and gradually these things come back to him. And he knows he has a limited amount of time, ironically, because he has to get somewhere before something happens. And he gradually comes to realize what that is. But the universe keeps throwing things at him to create obstacles, which is actually one of the theories about time travel, is that if you could go back to the past, that there would be various obstacles that would prevent you from making any changes to avoid changing timelines. And so there's a series of, they begin small and they get larger. He's losing his memory and then not being able to take the bus he wants, but then it starts to get, the obstacles become more intense from there.
I mentioned 2011. Another of the time threads you have is a writer's retreat in 2019. And these chapters start with a provocation. It might be begin a scene with this. It was a wish like a hunger. And these are the provocations that will be thrown to creative writers, for example. And these chapters are full of them. So is this from your experience, I don't know, of creative writing?
Well, yes. So some of them are just ones that are in the air, right? These are, you know, two truths and a lie kind of writing prompts that are just kind of out there in one form or another. I've used them, other people have used them, they're just known. So a bunch of them I invented. I did read through a ton of prompts from different sources to get inspiration for the tone and the different types and things like that. But there was only one that I used directly from somebody. And that was the one about the unhinged door and hockey puck. That's sort of, that use all those words in a passage. And I got permission from them to do that because that one actually led to, it seemed so interesting to use those words together. And it led to a lot of the plot of the book. So I wanted to keep that one exactly as I thought.
So I'm so conflicted because I'm often nervous about asking a writer about what happens in the books because we don't want to give anything away. And even with these three strands of time and the people that we get to know through them, if I ask you if there's a connection or what the connection is, can I do that without ruining anything?
I can say that the links among the three threads, which are the three time periods, the time traveler, the Sydney residency, and the one in New Zealand where there's responding to a series of prompts, that connections start to emerge among them. So it's good for the reader to discover those connections on their own.
You work as hard as readers, Brian. I think you're really aware of that. You have to have your wits about you reading Entanglement because we have the three time streams and we're looking for connections, but there's also things that are not connected. And I'm thinking even of one of the chapters you have based in Sydney in 2011, where we're finding out a love story, but in reverse. You're starting on the 27th of September, and then the next one is the 17th of September, and then the 14th of September. I love it, but you have to be really focused. So you're trusting your readers to be very engaged in this to get the most from the book.
I'm hoping that it's engaging enough for readers to commit to that. But I also have a great faith in readers. Readers are smart, they're capable, and if they're interested in the subject matter and if they're interested in the characters, my assumption is they will be engaged. That's the hope. In terms of the backwards, that's interesting, that backwards section initially was going forward, and I was just about to print off a draft to show someone for feedback when I realized that, of course, it had to go backwards. What was most interesting was not the development of, but working backwards to how they got there. And it also worked nicely with an image. This actually was at the Center for Time, in this room where I had a little desk. They had a clock, which I put in the book. They had a clock that told time forward, but it went counterclockwise. And so there was a sort of backward nature of that clock. And so I thought that was a nice little piece of symbolism there. It does do your head in to look at that clock and watch it go backwards. I was told, don't think too much about it. Just look at it.
Well, as I say, it's an intense read for a reader. But for writing this, has this been a complicated process for you, keeping these threads and this story or these stories that you're telling in your head all at the same time?
It was somewhat challenging because what I did was I had three different document files, one for each time period. And I was building each so that I could keep track of each time period and what was happening without getting lost in going back and forth and make sure that things were working side by side. But it was also really fun to do that because it meant that I could change gears. I could work really hard on one particular voice and then change gears and work really hard on another particular voice. And so it was an interesting variety as a writer to do it. But it was I was really looking forward to the day when I could weave those three strands together. And I kept putting that day off till I really felt that it was ready to come together. And then it was really exciting to weave them and figure out how the three should be placed precisely together.
Entanglement by Brian Wolpert is published by Makaro Press.